Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Saturday, I took a walk to Zipperhead. I met a girl there and she almost knocked me dead. Oh, God, girl, please look at me. What do you see? Let's travel around the world, just you and me, punk rock girl. I tapped her
on
the
shoulder.
Come on, we're
busy singing.
And said, do you have a bell?
We have to do a show.
She looked at me and smiled and said she did not know.
Punk rock girl.
Give me a chance.
Punk rock girl.
Let's go slam dance. We'll dress like Minnie Pearl.
Girl and not John Fetterman.
No, that's right. All right, 7:10.
So I hear you, everybody. My bad.
The audience universally disagreeing with Candy about the.
No, it's not the first time.
Although me too, because I'm, you know, I think you ought to dress nice. I just don't like doing it. So whatever. Interesting conversation at the Escambia County Commission meeting on Thursday about Baptist leaving its legacy campus over on Moreno East Street to go to the new campus, which they completed that move early on Saturday around 11:30. It was, you know, like, whoa, okay, they're done. But interesting. I saw an article in I think it was in the paper. Was it Channel 3? I apologize. I always want to give people credit for the stuff that they report and then. Just every once in a while, I just can't remember where the source was. But anyway, Commissioner May talking about the bistro there, which has served its last meal on Friday. We're at the restaurant. Candy, did you ever eat at the bistro?
Bistro?
Yeah, at Baptist. The cafeteria.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of times, because Darren was just in the hospital at Baptist.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's called, the bistro, yes, for like a whole week straight.
Pardon me, I had never, okay.
I guess I didn't know what it was called, but yeah. But, do you have any questions? Because I can answer them all about the bistro.
Well, he was basically making it out like this is it's like the restaurant for the community. It's like an important part of that area is people eating at the bistro at the cafeteria at Baptist.
For the record, and so I want to be on record, you know, as you said, that the county's been a great partner. I mean, from ECAT to EMS to our finance, and on record, how diligently we are working. I mean, Jen will tell you, you know, I think the bistro should stay. I think there needs to be some type of feeding there for the citizens. I think, you know, Jeff, whether it's health and hope, whether it's community health, we got to provide that.
And again, I'll confess my ignorance. I had not been particularly aware of that as a fixture in the community, as a place where, you know, presumably a lot of people eat.
I hadn't thought about that. And it's not just all hospital workers. And
it's
by the
people
way,
come
you can
in
go
there
in
to eat.
For sure. And it's very inexpensive, of course, to, you know, for the people that are visiting their friends and relatives, I imagine, not to mention the great hospital workers there.
Right.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, but you can get like a lasagna or, you know, whatever. But it was always like under $10, which threw me. And great food, too, by different restaurants.
Yeah. So, I can't think of any restaurants in that area particularly that are right in that vicinity. I mean, you get out on a Pace or,
well,
you know,
okay,
down on Cervantes like, or something, you know, that's fine.
There's a place called like something the grilled cheese. I'm trying to remember. It's a very cheeky, hilarious name, but they were who cut the grilled cheese or something like that, right? And like they will come in and cook and they have two or three different things, but I hadn't thought about
that.
Yeah,
and so he was saying,
right.
So his concern, of course, is that there would be, you know, without that economic engine in the area that you would have sort of more blight because it's not a very great part of town, obviously.
I can just tell you, if you leave a abandoned building or a abandoned neighborhood, which is almost surrounded by some blight, it can deteriorate. So I want to offer my public support of whatever we need.
And even kind of trying to talk about the history of it and, you know, kind of, well, which Baptists helped this? And he says, well, a lot of Black Baptists, you know, because, again, an important locale for more than just being a hospital in the Black community.
And I'm going to be candid. It's very important to the African-American community, and many of the African-American leaders in the Baptist Church donated their hard-earned money, their sweat, and their tears for Baptist Hospital. And many people don't know the history of University Hospital, which was a public hospital funded by the county, which was the only hospital that people of color and people like my mother and grandmother could go to, and the rescue was Baptist. And that, as Mark said, that brings a sentimental value to me. And it really does bring a sentimental value to me that somewhere that you've been around 54 years is leaving. But I don't think the Baptist has to leave. I think we're just expanding and we can continue to have those services there in that neighborhood.
That's right. Continuing to serve the neighborhood.
And that's Jen Grove is the voice you heard there from Baptist talking about, hey, we're trying to make sure that it doesn't leave kind of a economic development hole there in that area. We're working on trying to get that because it takes a long time to redevelop a single purpose facility like that.
And to your point, Commissioner May, typically a hospital redevelopment of this scale can take 10 to 15 years. We have been working actively since the announcement of our move with the county, with the city, to make that a much shorter timeline for this redevelopment. So thank you for all your support, and we'll keep you updated over the weekend.
So, you know, getting better than the 10 to 15 year average, and I'm not quite sure what Commissioner May's idea is as far as, you know, would it just be the restaurant would stay with what workers without a Baptist hospital around it, you know?
Well, something I noticed when, and again, Darren was in at the beginning of August, as you'll remember probably, and there was, of course, it's so hot, it's scorching, and we were still getting those 90-degree temps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People were coming in and not hassling people for money or anything like that, but just enjoying the air conditioning, the atrium, the plants, and eating their food, and just, but I didn't even make that connection. Yeah, that is going to be a,
and she
says, hard to miss.
Yeah, and we'll come back to this in just a second, because some other comments here were kind of interesting. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Accident in Milton at Avalon and I-10, but as I understand, it's confined to the U-Haul store, the driveway. It's just east of Avalon, so 90's clear. Don't rubberneck, they say. So, flashing lights at Michigan and Mobile, the red light's not working, and of course, red is a stop, yellow is you have the right of way, but better be safe than be right. So, careful there, and wherever you are, 437-1620, if you have traffic tips, text them in News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It is always, we always say that, and that's true, I agree, but you always have to worry about getting rear-ended, too.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
If you don't keep going.
Right, you know, yeah, just be careful, weird situation. No, it's tough when it lights out, I know.
So Jen Grove, basically back to her from Baptist Hospital, talking about the redevelopment of that Baptist facility, the old hospital, the legacy campus, right? $15 to $20 million.
We still have estimates that the demolition, abatement, and or adaptive reuse could be anywhere from $15 to $20 million. So we are working closely with the city to look at if there's a potential for additional state funding to support that. We welcome the county's investment as well. It will be a historic redevelopment to bring much-needed, attainable workforce housing within that part of our community.
And by the way, just, you know, I don't know whether this is exactly a fair comparison or not, but, you know, I'm sure some people have the thought like, well, can we not just repurpose the building itself? You know, can we not just, well, okay, they're not so easy to reuse for that purpose. And if you want a comparison, look at the old hospital on Palafox. Still there, empty. I mean, you know, like nothing, right? The old, what is it? I don't, the medical facility building. It's right in front of, you know, that they built the water tower behind, and the front of that is that, I mean, that's just, it's been nothing for all of these years, right? So I don't think it's so easy to repurpose those things. But she says, look, we want housing. We like the idea of housing on that site. And, you know, what else might be in that area, sort of mixed use, any kind of, you know, retail or something like that. But, you know, that's all needs to be done. Somebody has to be willing to do it. And so far, none of those plans have materialized.
What we are working toward is helping to secure that funding and then donating that campus for the redevelopment purpose. And we do have some contracts underway currently with Paces and Soho Housing. That's who built Brownsville Manor, runs Century Manor, Fairfield Manor, a not-for-profit affordable housing developer. Those applications are into the state for low-income housing tax credits. That is not Section 8 housing. That is mixed-income housing, everywhere from 30% of area median income with lower rental rates all the way up to market rate rental opportunity. And then the balance of the campus in the redevelopment vision would be for single family home ownership opportunities where both city and county ship and sale funds could be utilized to help buy down payments, down payment assistance and such.
So that's something that they are clearly looking for. But again, you know, all this stuff has to happen. So I'm kind of in a, well, we'll see, you know, and what's going to happen on that site. I think a lot of people are very eager to figure out what's going to happen on that old site. But, you know, the new facility is fantastic. They accomplished it. And I was told originally it was going to be like three ambulances at a time. But it turns out that it was a seven ambulance parade and then an eight ambulance parade. And they were kind of going back and forth, front and back of the hospital, that kind of thing. And got it done very, very quickly. Meanwhile, Commissioner Bender mentioned, I always like it when the county's proactive on something, okay, because a lot of times you have the perception, and I mean, just the truth is that the county's reactive or unable, you know, to solve a problem, but this is a case where the county is kind of working on something ahead of time. What's the impact on traffic going to be on Brent Lane now that you have that you know, enormous new facility right there.
We are already looking at the traffic pattern in front of the new hospital on Brent as the traffic flows between 29 and Davis. So I talked to our traffic control, and they said they're already working on it a little bit. So we know that there will be a big influx of vehicles coming that way next week. And so we just ask for some patience as we work through that as well. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Well, Commissioner Bennett, you can help with that traffic flow. You wasn't here, so you can bring it up. We can open up Ralston Lane, as we should have never closed it, and it would help. So you can always bring that up. Commissioner Berry cannot bring it up, but you could. And you could probably get 2 votes if you brought it up, and it would help with that traffic flow.
Wow, talk about holding on to a grudge. The 4-1 vote to overrule Lumen May back in the day to close off Rawson Lane to let PCC use that as their place so that they could build that new residential tower on the east side of the road without having to jeopardize their students walking across the road. And, of course, that cut-through is not available anymore. You have to, you know, go south on the access road instead of being able to go south through Rawson Lane, particularly when you'd get off on Airport and look west and be like, oh, there's a train! Crud. Which, by the way, somebody text me if you've seen it. I know the signs are up for the railroad crossing. And I know the lights are there, like they've been installed. But I don't think the thing is actually active yet. Of course, it's only been, what, 5 years? It's been 6 years. I don't know. It's been a long time since that was supposed to be done. But, yeah, never going to give up the Rawson Lane thing. Very upset about that. It would not be feasible, I think, now to reopen it. And you can't just... You can't go impose a vacation for a right-of-way on a private property like Rawson is now. I don't think that's how that works, Commissioner. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. Oh, somebody says it was the, where did my text go? I was looking at it. The old medical center, the medical center clinic. That was the facility on 29 that I was talking about. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about getting that next vehicle, I strongly recommend Frontier Motors, at least as a place to go do some shopping. Look around. They have 300 different cars and trucks on the lot. You can look at anything you want to look at. And one of the things that they do is when you go to actually sit down and talk about a price, you'll get a sheet of paper that has, you know, tax, title, everything, all that stuff on it. And then at the bottom of that page is the little line and it says, total, like out the door total. That's the only number that you really talk about. And attached to the back of that price sheet is a Carfax report. Now, a Carfax report will tell you the automotive, you know, repair and maintenance history of that car, as long as the mechanics who were working on it reported it to Carfax, which, I mean, you know, many do, maybe not all do. I learned that definitely in a very vivid way one time, but it's better than nothing. It's a good start. Okay, I still recommend you go get a used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust. Seriously, it's worth the money. But, you know, if you're buying from somebody on Facebook Marketplace or you're buying from a corner lot or something like that, take the VIN, give it to Frontier, and they'll run the Carfax for you. And then you can decide whether that car is what you think it is or whether it's worth the price they're asking, or you just want to avoid it. You know, your choice. Why would they do that for no charge? Because they can. Because it's a service, because it's useful, because it helps you make better decisions. That's it. It's just kind of the company they are. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the Anointed One, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, he is God. I encourage you to rejoice in him and give your life to him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone. In the case of evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 till 7 right before Dave Ramsey on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm out.
Seinfeld. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
We're at 9 Mile and Scenic Meet. There's an accident. It's near the UWF campus. Accident on Highway 90 in Milton. It's near the Sonic, but it's confined to the U-Haul store driveway, which is just east of Avalon. So they say 90 is clear. Don't rubberneck, but it's super busy in that area. Maybe the rubberneckers, maybe not. Flashing lights at Michigan and Mobile. That red light is not working. And the front gate of Pensacola Naval Air Station is backed up past sunset, but still moving just fine. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, you can text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
House Republicans are scrambling to come up with a legislative plan to avoid a government shutdown. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he's optimistic that some sort of deal will be worked out ahead of the deadline on September 30th. This renewed push comes after two previous efforts to unite Republicans around a stopgap funding resolution have failed. COVID-19 tests are now available for free online again. The federal government relaunched its program to provide those free tests. Now that testing is not being covered by most insurance companies. That's after the expiration of the pandemic emergency declaration last spring. The free tests available starting today at covidtests.gov. And today, Andrew, we celebrate one of my favorite foods. It's easy. It's cheesy.
It's National Quesadilla Day. YouGov.com says one out of every three Americans eat it at least once a week. For good reason, a tortilla stuffed with gooey cheese. We've been eating them since the 16th century, invented in colonial Mexico. And today, they're the number five most popular item ordered on Grubhub. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
You had a look on your face like you don't eat a weekly quesadilla.
That's the part I'm kind of baffled by. Like, I can get it if people say they eat a hamburger once a week or they eat pizza once a week, but quesadilla once a week?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't eat quesadillas?
No, I do, but I don't think of that as like a staple.
Well, if you put chicken in it and vegetables,
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just, it's interesting to me that that's the go-to food. You know, like some people eat peanut butter and, you know, jelly or brown sugar is my preference. Sandwiches, and here they are at like once a week eating a quesadilla.
I mean, I can't believe you've brought up children without resorting to the quesadilla.
Oh, no. I mean, I feed them quesadilla, but, you know, and you know, it's nice if you got a little leftover, like, taco meat or something you throw in there.
Oh, yeah. We
got on a kick after watching Napoleon Dynamite again. Dang old quesadilla.
Quesadillas.
Dang old quesadilla. Make yourself a quesadilla.
One out of three people eats a quesadilla at least once a week. That's the part that I was... 110 million Americans are eating quesadillas at least once a week.
Which probably means one out of three is eating them more than once a week.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
David and I bringing up the rear.
I mean, I suppose if you're getting them at Taco Bell or something. Like I said, that's what caught my attention. That's a big number.
We got all these texts about El Asador.
Oh, all
and
right.
And their amazing quesadillas.
Oh, I see. I only ever eat the tacos there. Oh, although I did have the chicken there one time, just like the half chicken or whatever. They were special on Wednesday. Oh, yeah, lots of people are liking that. I haven't eaten a quesadilla in 10 months, holding down the average. Okay, there we go.
it's you, 426.
Speaking of quesadillas in no way whatsoever, the president spoke.
And two of the great artists of our time representing the groundbreaking legacy of hip-hop in America.
Do you think this is going to go well?
It's coming from President Biden.
How well do you think this is going to go? Here we go.
And two of the great artists of our time representing the groundbreaking legacy of hip-hop in America. LLJ Cool J. By the way...
Oh, but wait, it gets worse. So not only does it flub the name, but listen.
LLJ Cool J.
I'm going back to Emma Callie. I'm going to round the wig out. I don't know. Is he getting everything wrong here?
LLJ Cool J.
Wait for it, though. Wait for it. It's going to get worse.
By the way, that boy's got, that man's got biceps bigger than my thighs. I think he's been.
That what now? What did he say?
By the way, that boy's got, that man's got biceps bigger than my thighs. I think.
Does that have to do with anything? Okay, so there you go. Just my gift to you in our parting here at 7:30.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's a tentative deal announced to end the TV and movie writer's strike that started in May. Actors have been striking since July.
The contract still has to be finalized and eventually ratified by the guild's 11,000 members. So writers have been advised not to return to work until this deal is done. No agreement has been made yet for actors, so writers have been encouraged to remain on the picket lines in support.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff, an Italian mob boss arrested in January to serve multiple life sentences after 30 years on the run, has died of cancer, 61 years old.
Matteo Messina Denaro was described as the last godfather of the Sicilian mafia. It's believed he orchestrated some of Italy's most notorious crimes, bombings in Milan, Florence, and Rome, and the murder and torture of an 11-year-old boy.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. President Biden meets with Pacific Island leaders today at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Beautiful morning. It's 70 degrees right now in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Escambia County deputies are looking for a suspect. This is after a shooting at a home on Winton Avenue over the weekend. The sheriff's office says the suspect went to that home where he got into an argument with the couple that lived there and allegedly shot the male victim. That victim found at a local hospital appeared to have non-life-threatening injuries, and deputies say they've identified but have not yet located the suspect. That suspect's identity has not yet been released. A motorcyclist from Atmore in critical condition today after a crash on State Road 97 on Saturday. Florida Highway Patrol says the 49-year-old man was riding near Tungoyal Road that morning when he swerved to avoid a deer in the road that caused him to run off the road, crash into a tree. The biker found about 60 feet from his motorcycle. He was taken to Sacred Heart Hospital in critical condition, and there is no current update on that man's condition. A teenager was shot at DeLuna Lane's bowling alley over the weekend. This happened outside of the bowling alley in the early morning hours on Saturday. The teen was reportedly shot in the arm and stomach and was taken to the hospital in an unknown condition. Escambia County deputies say the teen appeared to have been shot inside a vehicle in the parking lot after getting into an argument with a group of people. Investigators are still working to identify a suspect in that case. The chair of the Republican National Committee says she hopes that former President Trump will take part in at least one of their 2024 presidential debates.
Oh, I want him to attend a debate, and he knows that. Everybody knows. I think the other candidates also want him to attend a debate.
Ronna McDaniel was on Fox News Sunday, and she urged him to appear at a debate before the primary voting season begins in January. Trump skipped the first debate in August, and he'll be in Detroit on Wednesday instead of at the debate this week. Federal government has relaunched a program providing free COVID tests. This comes as most insurance companies are no longer covering testing since the official expiration of the public health emergency order. Officials say you may be tired of worrying about COVID, but you should keep your guard up.
Well, I think everybody's very tired, but we have these tools that are available to us, and now the tests are going to be free of charge, so people should take advantage of them.
That is infectious disease expert Dr. Mary Jo Trepka. Each household can order up to 4 free tests online at covidtests.gov. Terrible tragedy in Hillsborough County over the weekend. That's what Sheriff Chad Cronister said Saturday after a train hit an SUV in Plant City. Happened at US 92 and Jim Leffler Circle. 6 people in this car were killed, including 5 passengers that were ejected and died at the scene. That includes a 9-year-old child and 2 17-year-olds. The sheriff's office said yesterday the 52-year-old driver passed away overnight. A 23-year-old in critical condition. Investigators say the driver went through the stop sign and tried to cross the tracks directly in the train's path. The local sheriff there asking the community to keep the family, their loved ones, and all the first responders in their thoughts. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right, I'm seeing a backup. This is on Highway 90 westbound east of Avalon. There was an accident there. It's near the Sonic, but we got another text saying it's confined to the U-Haul store driveway. It's right near there. So they say it's clear, don't rubberneck, but we're also getting reports that it is backed up, certainly. So be careful there regardless. 9 Mile and Scenic, where it meets by the UWF campus, there is a separate accident, obviously. Caution there. Flashing lights at Michigan and Mobile Highway. Front Gate, Pensacola Naval Air Station is backed up past Sunset. And so far, that's the only thing that we're seeing right now. Certainly use caution there wherever you are. And if you have a traffic tip, text it in at 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And now a look at our weather. Hot and dry today, high near 90, dropping into the low 70s overnight, then rain chances starting tomorrow, temps in the upper 80s during the day, mid-70s at night, and that should last through about the end of the week. Right now, partly cloudy, we've got 72 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 68 in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashenka with Your Money Now. If all goes well from here, some of your favorite shows might be back by January after Hollywood's writers and studios reached a preliminary labor agreement. The two sides are still drafting the final contract language, but said last night they had reached an agreement. WGA members told the union this is an exceptional deal with meaningful gains and protections for writers in every sector of the membership. 1 year after Congress approved tens of billions on IRS funding, the agency has unveiled plans to crack down on tax preparers with questionable practices. The news comes amid heightened scrutiny of a popular small business tax credit. The IRS says it's devoting more resources to addressing unscrupulous preparers who are leading their customers to underreport income or overclaim credits and deductions. Tax experts say the preparers create issues for filers who may later face an IRS audit or future tax liability. That's Your Money Now.
Jaclyn Harris Preparatory Academy presents The Many Faces of Tina Turner on Friday, September 29th. Sue Strawn will host an evening of electrifying music, fun, and dancing by Dance Connection. Master storyteller Robin Richard will share the story of the most amazing recording artist ever, Tina Turner. This is a fundraiser event for Favor House, so join them for a fun evening. Tickets are $55 and can be purchased at eventbrite.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The next proclamation is kind of sentimental to me. It's probably one of the neatest things I've done for someone, Captain Brady. I'm going to give a little history. I want you to come up, sir. Captain Brady was a POW for 6 years, but what I don't think most people know is he was more than just that. He was a child in Pearl Harbor on the day of the attack. He was part of the Bay of Pigs. He was part of the blockade. One of his Naval Academy friends got shot down on Flight 77 on 9/11. He's wrote an awesome book. Yeah. And you're one of our heroes. He's 94. He threw the baseball out the other day, and I heard you got past the plate. That's what I heard.
I got the plate on third bounce.
Oh, is that how it worked? Okay, well, I know you and Colonel Hubbard were out there.
And sharp as a tack, holy smokes. So this Captain Alan Brady and Mike Kohler, District 2 Commissioner from Escambia County, was honoring him the other day at the county commission meeting.
I don't think many people in our community know this, and I called Dr. Albano the other day said, how many do we have in Escambia County? Yeah. How many do you think we got POWs? I didn't know this either. We have more than any other place in the United States. We have seven. And I thought we only had 4 to 5. But
seven people here who were POWs in Vietnam. That's a lot, right? And so there was a proclamation. It's a very long proclamation, but there are two parts of it that I want you to hear, just because I think this is sort of one of those stories where you're like, oh, wow, this guy, right? I mean, an amazing legacy. Here's the first part.
Whereas Captain Alan Colby Brady was born on August 15, 1929 in San Diego, California, and considered himself American at large, always dreamed on joining the United States Navy as a pilot and received his wings in June of 1953. The same year he married Louise in South Carolina. They celebrated the arrival of their son Richard in 1956 and their daughter Lisa in 1959. Whereas his over 30 years of service, Captain Brady served in 17 missions and found himself on the frontiers to all major events surrounding the emerging Cold War, nuclear proliferation, America's first fight against communists in Cuba, and the Vietnam War. And whereas Captain Brady received the Distinguished Flying Cross for participating in aerial flight during the period of April 15, 1958 to June 20, 1958 as an effect test pilot for Task Group 7.4 in connection with the Operation Heart Attack at Eniwok Proving Grounds. Huh?
Hard attack.
Is that what we said?
Not heart attack.
Yeah, I may have a heart attack. Hey, you tell
him. This is what I love. At his age, he's listening. He's like, no, son. Yeah, right. Not heart attack. Hard tack. The name of the operation was Hard Tack. Like, that's pretty sharp. So then he reads through some of the stuff and, like, Bay of Pigs. I mean, like, all kinds of things that he was involved in.
Whereas, as the fatal day of January 19th, 1967, Captain Brady was shot down while leading a flight of A6s as executive officer of Attack Squadron 85, deployed aboard the aircraft carrier USS Kitty Hawk against the strategic Don Phong Phong Railway Bridge. I think I said that right, North Vietnam. If I didn't, you can help me out.
Nobody can pronounce that.
Okay. And made prisoner of war until the release of March 4th, 1973. It's a long time, partner. Whereas Captain Brady's conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity during the time as a prisoner of war, I'm struggling here a little bit, in North Vietnam, his diligent devotion and loyalty to the United States and resisting routine cruelties and attempts to be used in causes detrimental to the nation, indisputably made the war worthy of the Silver Star, the Legion of Merit, the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Bronze Star, and the Prisoner of War Medal. Whereas Captain Brady made daily contact with the North Vietnamese guards during his imprisonment and helped in maintaining good oral discipline among the prisoners, and also served as an educator providing diversion and rehabilitative thinking to his fellow prisoners and help improve morale and well-being during their long internment. And whereas Captain Brady retired from the United States Navy in 1979, and in the early 90 days he lived aboard a sailboat for 6 years, where he used his sailing prowess to assist in the liberation of exiled communities of Cuba, and now lives in Florida with his wife, Diane.
Oh, man. And just, you know, big applause for him at the end of all of this and people celebrating him and the day.
Captain Alan Brady, for his lifelong dedication to the defense of our country's freedom and celebration of National POW/MIA Recognition Day to be observed on Friday, September 15, 2023. Thank you, sir.
Now, I'll tell you, we have some people who live here. You know what I mean? Like, we have some really significant people who lived here, lots and lots and lots of retired military who lived here, and it's just always humbling to me to hear some of these stories about them. And, of course, he actually got a chance to speak a little bit, and he's very old, okay? So you have to listen carefully, but, man, this guy is just impressive.
You want to say something?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, I know you... It's your mic, sir.
Okay.
If you want to say anything.
Well, I'll keep it short. It was a short life, too. So we had the honor the other day where I'd throw the first pitch out at the ball game. Now, I don't throw baseball. I didn't play baseball ever. Played a lot of other sports, but not baseball. And so it was kind of interesting. The guy that was introducing me, he said, it's Captain Brady. He was in prison for all these years and way back. And this guy was announcing out there next to the home plate. And he says to me, he says, Captain Brady, when was the last time you actually threw a baseball? I said, yesterday. Everybody says, what? And because I had a friend of mine, we did a little tossing back and forth because I hadn't thrown one in every year. So it was a great honor.
Yeah, I mean, you practice. This is what a smart person does.
I was very lucky that not just to get home without too serious injury, but also got the good news when I got back. I was not having to pay for the airplane I crashed.
six million, we owe that to you.
$6 million.
Yeah. I'm glad that they didn't make me pay for the A6 intruder that I crashed. I mean, just what a delightful man.
Well, I thank you very much. Pensacola is a wonderful place. I've lived all over the world. I lived in the Philippines and Hawaii and all that. And I lived in a lot of places in the United States. Somehow we came to Pensacola, I guess, through flight training and all that. But it's we selected that, and I've been living here for, gosh, 40 years or so. So it's a great, one of the greatest towns I've ever been in. It's very patriotic and so forth. Anyhow, thank you very much. There are many people that deserve this more than I do. So I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Your humility is amazing. We'll take a photo. Come on, Brian. We'll come around here. But
many people who deserve it more than I do. Well, I don't know about you, but it makes my heart warm and proud. And just to be in the country made possible by people like this is, I'm honored. Even to be able to play some of the stuff that he said and some of the accounting of his exploits. 746 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
That is phenomenal. It was fun to listen to.
And by the way, kudos to, yeah. I mean, I appreciate Commissioner Kohler for taking the time to do that too, because if he hadn't done it, I wouldn't have known, you know? So thank you, Commissioner.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Commissioner. This is brought to you by Discover. Discover credit cards do something awesome at the end of your first year. They automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned doubled. See terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Now, where 9 Mile and Scenic meet, there's an accident near the UWF campus, and somebody had texted saying it's in the median. There are emergency crews on scene, but it is clear to go through that area. Accident on Highway 90 in Milton. This is near Sonic and confined to the U-Haul store driveway just east of Avalon, but very, very slow westbound in that area. Flashing lights at Michigan and Mobile Highway. Red light is not working. And Pensacola Naval Air Station, that front gate, no longer backed up, moving very smoothly. You can text in your traffic tips at 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you have a business, if you're an employer and you've got employees and you got to deal with, you know, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability insurance, HR management, payroll, all of that kind of stuff, listen up. Torgerson Causey is a locally owned and operated comprehensive employee benefits agency, and they help companies like yours do well by your employees and take care of the headache if you don't want to have to take care of it, or, you know, if you don't like doing it, which I don't know anybody who likes doing this except Torgerson Causey, which is why they went in the business to do this, because they're weird like that. They like this, and they're really good at it. We've started using them here at News Radio and Cat Country about 6 years ago, and they were great. They gave us options we didn't have. They gave us, you know, I think we saved a little bit of money, but mostly because they gave us the opportunity to customize a plan in a way that made sense to us. Like, that's what was the real benefit. Fantastic customer service. Like, I didn't know what we were missing before when we went to them. Like, oh, it can be like this? This is really good. So if you run a business and you'd like to find out if they can help you do things better, save money, give your employees options, give them a call. No obligation. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started?
Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The I-10 Wired Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored in part by Data Revolution, the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes the AFSIA TechNet CyberCoast track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wire.com for tickets and event information.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today and learn more with Mary on Demand. Take the self-guided education series at your own pace. You'll decide what you'd like to learn and when. Visit mary.famu.edu to learn more. That's mmeri.famu.edu. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fox News' Guy Benson gives you the news and brings you the newsmakers every day at 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hal, despite your enormous intellect, are you ever frustrated by your dependence on people to carry out actions?
Not in the slightest bit. I enjoy working with people.
Monday morning, you sure look fine.
Had to change their cleats. Puck fielded after 24 by Shaheed. Uh-oh. Shaheed across midfield. Shaheed is going to take this all the way for a Saints touchdown, 76 yards.
And it felt like this game would get out of hand real fast and the Saints would run away with it. That made it 14-0 fairly early in the second quarter against the Packers last night at Green Bay. And then the Packers kicked a field goal, and you think, ah, no big deal. It's 17-3. And then they got a touchdown and converted for 2 points, and it was 17-11. You're like, eh, it's not a big deal. and then, unfortunately.
Love on third down to the end zone. What a catch. Touchdown.
It was a pretty impressive catch.
Love to Dobbs.
And Dobbs reeled it in. That made it 18-17. But no worries. There's 3 minutes left in the game. You can do anything in 3 minutes. So the Saints driving, getting down, and they got stymied. And so they're going to kick a field goal, 46 yards. But for an NFL kicker, that's not such a big deal. There's, you know, right around a minute to go in the game. They're down by one. They just need to make this.
Groupie from the left hash as we welcome a new audience. Saints looking to regain the lead. From 46 yards out, Groupie's kick is no good. Wide to the right.
You had some missed field goals over the weekend. That one was pretty painful for the Saints at the end to lose to the Packers by the 1 point. You had a missed field goal fairly early on by late in the game by Clemson when they were tied at 24 with a minute and a half to go against FSU.
And he made a 30-yard field goal to start the scoring today. He's made three extra points. Dabble Sweeney said it's either going to be great or terrible.
Had kicking
this would be
at
the ultimate greatness. Middle of the field from the 20-yard line.
Chip shot.
A 30-yard kick. And it is no good.
Oh, and the lady Clemson fan. She's world famous now. So you go to overtime, two plays in. I think it was just two plays in. FSU with the ball.
Second and nine. Jordan Travis throwing in a single. Coverage! And the catch made! They keep firing those jump balls. And that time, Keon Coleman brought it down for the touchdown.
Over the shoulder in the end zone. Man, they're up by seven. It would be the first time that they were trying to win at Clemson since 2014. And on fourth and two.
About a yard and a half that they have to have or it's ball game over.
Got a score or got a get the first down.
Deflected and incomplete. Florida State wins at Clemson.
Now granted, they're much higher ranked this year, number four against unranked Clemson, but still big win for FSU over the weekend. Blowout by Oregon over Colorado. I guess Deion Sanders did not have such a good game. And I'm conflicted on this because, you know, Bo Nix, I'm happy to see him do well. I just wish he would have done it at Auburn. That really pains me whenever I see him do so great for Oregon. And then the Notre Dame-Ohio State game. Holy smokes, man. That was also another one of these kind of games, especially if you're a Notre Dame fan. Sorry, y'all, but that's the Ohio State victory on that one. 4-3-7-16-20. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
The Ohio State.
No, I'd never say that.
Okay.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I grew up in Michigan, so I was a Michigan fan, you know, in the Bo Schembechler days. And then my family moved me to a foreign country, Illinois. And I was still sort of a Michigan fan then, but I wound up going to University of Illinois, and it's kind of hard to be an Illinois fan, but I cannot be an Ohio State fan.
University of Illinois.
No, I'm sorry. It's so pretentious and stupid.
Okay, 9 Mile and Scenic, where it meets, there is an accident, but not blocking anything, as I understand, right near the UWF campus, but emergency crews are on scene. Accident on Highway 90 in Milton near Sonic. Now, the accident itself, as I understand, confined now to the U-Haul store driveway, but again, watch for emergency crews on scene. This is east to Avalon, and 90 is clear. Flashing lights at Michigan and Mobile, and front gate of Pensacola NAS now moving just fine, not showing any slowdowns or delays. Use caution, as you know, wherever you are. If you see something, you can certainly let us know. You can text in your traffic tips. I'm double checking that accident in Milton. Still a little slow westbound in that area after that accident. 437-1620, text in those traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah, that Notre Dame game, they missed a field goal early, a 47-yarder, and they lost by three in the end. That's painful.
Oh, man, I wonder if Jeff Wayne knows
that. Yeah, he does know.
I'll go
tell him right after the show.
Go
talk to him.
I will.
But Ohio State, I mean, they had a minute left, and they've completed a 4th-and-7 to keep it going. They completed a 3rd-and-19 to keep it going. They got a run in on the, you know, you have to give it to them. They really played very, very, very well. 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, New World Landing is going to get demolished.
I saw that.
Yeah,
they're making room for something.
Yeah, they're putting a hotel.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the hotel was proposed, but the Architectural Review Board vetoed the design of the hotel, saying that it didn't, I guess, match the nature of that area or downtown or something, mm-hmm. that it wasn't interesting enough or whatever. But I just think it's kind of, I mean, I know New World Landing has been kind of the off and on again.
Sure.
You know,
it's the end of an era.
But it's
weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
I mean, this is, when I'm trying to think if that'll be kind of like my first, kind of mm-hmm. thing that went away. I mean, I've had other things like that, but to see that get demolished and having gone to so many events.
You're
there,
right. It's like losing the Bay Center. Yeah, man.
It's kind of
weird.
7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. What else is there? They completed the move over the weekend. Easy. Like, you know, this was supposed to take 12 hours and start at 5 a.m. and Baptist finish it by noon. So, I mean, how hard is it to move patients? I mean, it's fairly easy, right?
when it is for Baptist.
When it goes well, it goes well, yeah. And that's great. And, you know, it's kind of the old paradox, right? When you plan for everything to go sideways, then it goes smoothly. When you don't plan for anything to go sideways, everything breaks. And in this case, nothing broke. And, you know, there people are in the hospital, and they're all doing well, and it's all lit up and beautiful and perfect looking. And, you know, as you would think a $650 million facility would be, you know? So $750 million, just to remember. $750 million. That's a pretty significant investment. Bands on the Beach at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, put on by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. You've got Vinyl Revival is going to be performing, so that's always a good time. And then the Pensacola Seafood Festival comes up this Friday through Sunday. Downtown, annual Pensacola Seafood Festival produced by Fiesta Pensacola. 150 artists and craftsmen and all kinds of fun. You can find out more at newsradio923.com. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson.
Yes.
I guess we learned our lesson. Don't skip an interview with him because things will happen. Like we passed on the interview with him because there was nothing to talk about. We do have stuff this week, so stick around for that. Dave and Wayne will have your local news coming up next right after Fox.